Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:16, that is Pacific Standard Time, and today is January 4th. And yesterday we kicked off the audio with a discussion of oil, and it had posted this downside key day reversal. And we can see that today it did not post downside follow through. It was a little bit steadier, up about 80 ticks. So this is still a risky kind of environment because of the downside key that we had yesterday, but we have not yet had follow through, so that the bearish signal has not been confirmed, and the progression of higher reaction lows within this rangey consolidation that has been ongoing now since the beginning of December is still intact. So it really does require downside follow through to confirm the overall bearish tone, but what we have certainly had is an uptick in volatility. But because oil prices were a little bit firmer today, that has removed, to a certain extent at least, a little bit of a headwind that had been on the continuous commodity index yesterday. And we can quite clearly see now on this weekly chart that the price level is firming. And when we look at it on a daily basis, we can start to see that the progression of lower rally highs, incremental as it might be, is now once again being challenged. And every other time that it has got back to this level in at least the last 5 months, there have been tails on the candle. This is the first time that it has been able to hold the gain through the end of the day. It would suggest that perhaps this is approaching the end of what has been a rather lengthy period of consolidation for the commodity complex generally. Now, the majority of the shares have had what could only be described as rather modest pullbacks, and they have not been confined to ranges for much of the last 5 months. If we look at this reasonably consistent advance on the FTSE 350 mining index, we are presented with a staircase uptrend where we have these ranges one above another, and those ranges are relatively similar sized, and therefore really, it's a sustained move below 14,000 would be required to even begin to question that this isn't still a consistent advance. And when we look at the weekly chart, then the speed with which the index has been advancing, going from just above 5,000 to almost 15,000 in 12 months, tells us just how depressed prices were at the beginning of 2016, and that most of that accelerated decline over really over the latter half of 2015 has now been unwound. So potential upside is a little bit more difficult from here. There is obviously now a somewhat overbought condition relative to the trend mean. That potentially suggests that the mining index may go sideways for perhaps a little bit longer in order to further unwind that overbought condition. But it remains a generally bullish pattern overall. When we look at the ASX 300 Resources Index, then it is not as overextended. But when we look at it on the daily basis, then we are also presented. And because this is only updated, it's not updated intraday, perhaps we should look at it on a line chart. But we are presented with these staircases, mostly one above another. They have tended to dip into one another over, particularly in the middle of last year. But 3,200 is the upper side of the underlying range and below the lows of the current range, and it is now rallying towards the upper side of that. But it continues to look like a benign environment overall. The ASX was additionally firm in here today. It is obviously being helped along, certainly by the commodities sector. But I think it is also worth keeping an eye on the banks index. And I began to more closely look at the ASX 300 banks index rather than specifically the financials, because there are simply too many insurance companies and other types of company in that ASX 200 financials index to give us a really good view of what's happening in the Australian banking index, and we can see very clearly that over the last 18 months, perhaps even almost 2 years, there has been a downtrend, but that over much of 2016, we had a progression of higher reaction lows within this range, and now we have had a very clear upward break. And that would suggest at least that there is certainly this has been an explosive breakout. We expect there to be a big overbought condition when something has been ranging in such an inert fashion. Inevitably, there is going to be some form of consolidation at some point, but there is certainly no evidence that it is taking place at the present moment. A lot of the news flow today was centering on China and the fact that they are beginning to step in to support the currency. But it's modest. And I will put up the renminbi chart in a moment, but the fact that they are trying to support the currency, but not in an aggressive manner, is positive for confidence that there is at least somebody at the helm looking to try and keep the economy on a steady footing. And there is increasing evidence that the A-share index is finding support in the region of the trend mean. The renminbi was a little bit steadier in here today. This is it's shown inversely relative to the US dollar, but and it is oversold. The dollar is overbought following a very big move in the latter couple of months of last year, and the renminbi is close to the psychological 7 area. So, and there is quite a deep overextension relative to the trend mean. So we certainly have room for some consolidation, and we know what that looks like. We have had similar conditions, although perhaps not as persistent on the upside, over the course of the renminbi's downtrend, which is now in its 3rd year. Actually, it's approaching the end of its 3rd year. It's beginning its 4th year. What we can clearly see that is the Chinese need a weaker currency, and they are managing it lower. And while certainly they are attempting to reinstitute some faith in the currency, we can see in Bitcoin that the Chinese consumers are losing faith in the currency, and the $50,000 limit has rolled over, but of course there are a substantial number of very wealthy people that, for which $50,000 means nothing, and they are buying Bitcoin. And this market is now accelerating higher. It is approaching the peak that was posted a few years ago, and this is now going up in almost a straight line. In 3 weeks, it has gone from 800 to 1100, and that is a weight of money move. There is certainly people that are voting with their feet and moving their money out of renminbi or out of yuan and into Bitcoin. Now, there is of course a risk here. Bitcoin isn't something that you can simply put in your suitcase. It relies on an ability to access the Bitcoin exchanges. And what happens if the monetary or government authorities in China decide that Bitcoin is representing a clear and present danger to the stability of the currency, and it is perhaps too small at the current point. But certainly we can track who is buying Bitcoin online, and China accounts for the vast majority of trade. What happens then if the monetary authorities say that they are going to do to Bitcoin what they have previously done to Facebook, Google, and to YouTube, where you simply cannot access those markets in China at all? Now, if they do that to the Bitcoin exchanges, well, that is going to result in a crash. Now, we can clearly see that the moving average is around 660 and the price is at 1100, and it is an accelerating market. So when it stops going up, it is likely to represent a peak of at least near-term and potentially medium-term significance. So this is certainly an increasingly risky market from a number of perspectives. Of course, if the Chinese do act to attempt to influence the price of Bitcoin, that is likely to be positive for gold, because China has plenty of gold. And right now, it is looking increasingly likely that we are getting the beginning of a reversionary move in gold, which could see it rally back up towards the trend mean. Then, whether it can find support at a progressively higher level and put in a higher reaction low, well, that would confirm that we've seen a low of more than short-term significance. But in the very short term, it is looking increasingly likely that gold prices will move higher. And when we look at Wall Street, the S&P 500 was up, or at least in moderately positive territory in here today. It has unwound pretty much all of the selling that took place in the last few days of last year and is now back testing its high. The Nasdaq 100 is also pretty steady. It hasn't quite got back to its high, and that 5,000 level is a previous area of resistance. But considering how long it has spent ranging underneath it, I think on this occasion it's unlikely to represent anything other than just that short-term pause. This continues to look like an uptrend, that we have certainly had a much bigger range, and it has been resolved on the upside. A clear move below the trend mean would be required to even begin to question that this isn't a resumption of the medium-term uptrend. And there is, of course, there has been a change, and it is that we've had a political change which is beginning to usher in a much more pro-business administration, and that is good for stocks, good for companies overall. So we do have a rather bullish rationale. And clearly, despite the fact that we have had some gyrations in some of the larger stocks, both up and down, that the broader market averages have been comparatively steady. And as long as that remains the case, we will continue to give the benefit of the doubt to the upside. Japan today was perhaps the market that stood out most for a strong performance. It was up almost, well, excuse me, it was up over 2%, and has bounced back very emphatically from just 1 week on the downside last week, and is now rapidly approaching that 20,000 level. And it is doing it without any kind of marked acceleration in the depreciation of the yen. There is, of course, a certain point at which the yen is weak enough that it is going to act as a tailwind to manufacturers and to the domestic economy. I'm going to be visiting Japan on the way back from the Singapore chart seminar. I'm very much looking forward to it. But what we can see here is that the 120 area has been an area of support for the yen previously, an area of resistance for the dollar. There is room for some consolidation here, provided it is not dynamic in nature. That is unlikely to act as any particular headwind to the market, but certainly we can say that there is an oversold condition for the yen right now, and there is an overbought condition for the stock market. And in Europe, it was interesting that the DAX today was completely unchanged, and that isn't something you see very often at all, but it does remain in a broadly positive environment. When we look at the long-term chart of the DAX, it is quite different from the Euro Stoxx Index, that it much more closely resembles those US indices, that it has successfully broken out to new all-time highs. And there are not many European indices that have been able to accomplish that. And we can see very clearly on the long-term chart that it has broken the medium-term progression of lower rally highs, that we are in a quite different environment now. And of course, it is being helped along by the euro. The euro has not been able to sustain a move back above 105, but it is testing it now. We have been treated to a great deal of volatility, and today was a pretty strong move, but what it obviously needs is follow through. Every other time we've had a move of this magnitude in the last 2 months, it has been hit and hit hard on the following days. Europe does not want a strong currency. It is only really a question of how strong a currency the US is willing to tolerate. If in fact the euro can sustain a move above 106, then we would have to reevaluate, because that would begin to break the progression of lower rally highs that has really been there since May of last year. But until it does, this remains a rather difficult environment because of the intraday volatility. And I think with that, I'm going to leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.